Rahoa, my white brothers and sisters, welcome to a very special episode of the Creativity Power Hour. I am your host, Reverend Hardy Lloyd Pontifex Maximus of the Church of Ben Clausen. Today is his birthday. Today is the holiest, one of two of the holiest holidays we have, today and tomorrow. Today is Clausen's birth. That's what I will be focusing on. Tomorrow's broadcast will be focusing on Founding Day, which will basically just be me talking about creativity, which is what I do anyway. But today is the birthday of a great man, a man who gave to us the finished creed and program for white salvation. A lot of people look to Hitler. A lot of people seek out other philosophers of the 18th, 19th, and 20th century. Clausen, though, gave us a creed, a program, a faith to follow that is all we truly need in life. It's truly a remarkable thing, creativity. I'll get into more of the creativity creed and program tomorrow. Those of you who are longtime listeners already know about the faith. Obviously, you follow it or at least support it. Or maybe you just like to hear me rant. Well, today is the 20th of February. Today, Clausen was born back in 1918. I actually have here, I'm going to read first what I actually already have on the website. It's a brief rundown of Ben Clausen and the history of the church. Excuse me. I'm going to talk about that, even though it's on the website. There's a lot of people that do visit. We get thousands of people that visit the website every day. And I know from monitoring the hits and the addresses and whatnot that there's a lot of first-time people. In fact, a majority of the people that come every day seem to be new people. Or at least that's what the software is telling me, which is good. That means that we're reaching more and more people. Whether or not they agree with us, that's another matter. But it's good that more and more people every day are at least learning that creativity exists. Of course, without Ben Clausen, we wouldn't have creativity. So I'm going to, obviously, today and tomorrow, these are the two main holidays. There's going to be a bit of a crossover for each day. I can't talk about the birth of Ben Clausen, praise be unto him, without talking about creativity, the white racial religion he invented. And then I can't talk about the religion tomorrow, you know, which is Founding Day. That's when he founded the religion, without bringing up the guy who founded it. So there's going to be some crossover. Today is going to be talking mostly about Ben Clausen. Tomorrow will be mostly about creativity's creed and program itself. Today, I am going to start off by reading, then I'm just going to go in, just ad lib it, as I always do. Excuse me. And I feel like I need to burp. Anyway, so we were celebrating. We had, I've got the candles and the incense lit right now on the altar, and we were out having Italian. And still celebrating a little bit. Got my big, tall German stein of Japanese beer here. How's that for weird? My little access of beer. Well, the beer was free, so this is why I'm not drinking something more white, I guess. Anyway, okay, now let's stay serious, though. Let's stay serious. Today and tomorrow are the two main holidays that we celebrate. They're very, very important. Now, I am going to briefly, excuse me, go into old new news. This is today and tomorrow, though, are special broadcasts dealing with these two holidays. However, I do want to briefly point out that if you go to our websites at churchofbenclausen.org and creativityreligion.com, we do have some new sections, new pages that are up here. Let me just quickly go through this. So for those of you who haven't been to the site for, I guess, the last week, we do have a new section. There's the Ben Clausen section, and it's under Ben Clausen History, and there is a video section there. It's got three videos of Ben Clausen, a video of Matt Hale talking about Ben, and then we have Ben Clausen's audio call to action on there. And we will be added. There's a few more tidbits out there. I don't like to put everything all up at once. That's, you know, just so you know to come back. There's always new stuff. Excuse me. I did update. I do want to bring up. I did discuss this. I want to thank Brother William and as well as some other people for bringing up the concept of our New Year's. Now, today is our New Year's Eve. This is, I have already ruled on this several weeks ago. I agree with Brother William. I agree with a couple other people out there. I did talk with several people. Most people agree with this. Today is our New Year's Eve, and tomorrow, which is Founders Day, is also going to be, from henceforth, is going to be our New Year's Day. Before, it was really up to the individual creator, whether they want to celebrate the modern monotheist day of the 1st of January, which is actually based upon some Christ insane king in the Dark Ages said, oh, it's my birthday today. Henceforth, today is going to be New Year's. And of course, some of us, like myself included, were actually celebrating the old pagan day. Of course, in the solar calendar, the 21st of March, The spring equinox originally was in the lunar calendar, fell on the 1st of April, but in the solar calendar, it's the 21st of March. So rather than be weird and have it the 21st being the first day of the year, I and other pagan-like people, well, those that follow paganism, would celebrate the 1st of April. But today is New Year's Eve from now on, and tomorrow is New Year's Day. So tomorrow is the 49th year of creativity, 49 AC. Anno Creativitatis, the 49th year of creativity. Other things to mention briefly, I will be adding to the Salubris Health section on the website. Let's see, that's going to be down the road. We are also going to add a section later on down the road for the newsletter. That I am determined to have a free online newsletter at least every 3 months, a quarterly. I am adamant that's going to happen. And let's see, we also have two new sections as of yesterday. One is called Essays on Nature, which is going to talk about various philosophical articles talking about nature and things dealing with nature's laws. These are not creativity essays or articles. These are pieces done by others that basically promote creativity. They're talking about nature's laws, which is creativity, but they're from different individual people that, you know, existed before creativity, the ancient Greeks and the Romans and whatnot. And there's one article on there right now. It is by a Greek philosopher who predated Socrates and Plato, and he talked about how law and justice needs to follow the laws of nature, not follow the laws of man or a king. So that is the first essay on there. And then the other one is ancient white history. Now, the section on ancient white history right now, I have probably about six essays I'm going to put on there. I think I have six essays from myself. I've got two from Graham Hancock, and I think there's one or two other ones on there. This is going to be talking about ancient white history. The articles that I write are going to focus primarily on archaic Greece, ancient Egypt, and the time known as Zeptepi, which is when the white race was a pure race and controlled the entire planet, and we didn't have the Jews and any of that. That goes back tens of thousands of years. So that type of stuff is going to be on there. So the website expands, you know, every week I add something new, you know, every month there's one or two new sections on there, about to add another picture section on there. So, you know, just keep going, churchofbenclausen.org and creativityreligion.com. Anyway, so that is briefly talking about that. So there are some new things on there, and I'm trying to get a hold of, speaking of Ben Clausen, I am trying to, if anyone out there has a copy of Ben Clausen, the Ben Clausen radio interview from Phoenix, Arizona. Please send that to me. I had this copy. The fucking pig stole it. I'm trying to get that back along with a bunch of other things. My attorney is still talking with the fucking probation office. Still trying to get all this crap back. But if anybody out there has this, please send it to us or email the file or something. If it's on CD, I can have Brother Josh do an audio. I'll just send it to him and he can do it. He's our techie. And but we are looking for that radio interview of Ben Clausen. So anyway, that's all the new stuff. And let me just jump right into today. Now, today obviously is one of two of the main holy days. Clausen Day. This is when Ben Clausen was born. He was born on the 20th of February in 1918. Excuse me. He was actually born in the Ukraine, which is been in the news of late. And so that's interesting. Now, this was his family got out, you know, just barely before the Jewish Bolsheviks, you know, basically just butchered everybody. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read off from the Ben Clausen history section on the website. I know probably half the people that listen to these broadcasts are new to creativity or brand new to anything, who just kind of stumbled onto the website or whatever. So this will be something new for them. For fellow creators who already know the history, I'll get into the other stuff after I'm done with this. So let me read this right here. Let's see. Let's just go over now for the next while. Basic info on our holy founder, Ben Clausen. So early life and education. Bernhardt, and it's Bernhardt, it's not Benjamin. I don't know where the fuck that lie came from. A lot of people try to claim that Clausen was a Jew, you know, Christ insaners. You know, you got these jealous Christian identity dicks and people like, what was that faggot's name? Harold Covington, you know, they were just jealous of the fact that Ben Clausen had the balls and the vision to imagine white power without Christ insanity and nationalism. And then they got to go and attack the guy. Anyway, so he was born Bernhardt Clausen on the 20th of February, 1918 in, I'm not sure if I can read this. I'm not even going to try. He was born in some town in the Ukraine. There's a bunch of Russian here. I'm not even going to try to say it. To Bernhardt and Susanna Clausen, a Ukrainian Mennonite couple, he experienced the Russian famine of 1921, 1922, and 1924. His family fled Soviet tyranny, and they lived 1 year in Mexico, after which they moved to Herschel, Saskatchewan. That's in Canada, which is Jog Central, also another place that's been in the news as of late. Total Jewish tyranny in Canada. Americans don't realize how good they have it down here for the moment. Anyway, so they moved to Saskatchewan in Canada. From 1935 to 1937, he attended the University of Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan. There he developed... I'm trying to be Canadian funny there. There he developed intense interest in history, and after learning about the multitude of religions, concluded that they were all contrived. He left the college in 1937 because he wanted to take a position as a school teacher at the Saskatoon Normal School in Saskatchewan, though he soon found that he was not cut out for this career, as he was frequently at odds with his pupils. Which anybody who's lived in Canada understands that. He read a German version of Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf, and he started to increasingly identify with the new German Reich. He planned to study engineering at the University of Heidelberg, but the start of World War II in September of 1939 led to his plans being canceled as Canada eventually joined the war and fought against Germany. Thus, he returned to the University of Saskatchewan, where he studied engineering and was later transferred to the University of Manitoba, from which he eventually received a degree in engineering. While in college, Clausen enlisted in the Canadian Officers Training Corps, but still maintained dreams of moving to Germany to help build the new order, and even entertained the notion of joining the Air Force. Sorry, my phone. Dreams of moving to Germany to help build the new order, and even entertained the notion of joining the Air Force so that he could somehow drop into Germany and join the Axis cause. With the defeat of the Third Reich, In the spring of 1945, Clausen lost interest in politics and devoted his energies to establishing a career in engineering in the United States. Career in engineering and the invention of the wall-mounted electric can opener, or tin opener, as they would say up in Canada. Clausen, hey, I can't help it. I got a goofy sense of humor. It comes out no matter what. Clausen went on to establish a real estate company in Los Angeles. During his business years, he entered in partnership with Merlin. That's not an A. I'm going to pronounce it Merlin Peak. And the two founded Silver Springs Land Company, which founded Silver Springs in Nevada. He retired in 1952 after selling his share of the company for $150,000. On the 26th of March, 1956, he filed an application with the U.S. Patent Office to patent a wall-mounted electric can opener, which he marketed as Canoelectric. He once again entered in life of business and partnered with marketing firm Robbins & Myers to create Clausen Enterprises Incorporated. By the late 1950s, he and his family relocated to Florida. In the face of competition from larger manufacturers that could provide similar products more cheaply, Clausen and his partners dissolved the company in 1962. No longer having responsibilities of a businessman, put his energies into political work, career in politics. Clausen started his political career as a member of the John Birch Society. The bullshit John Birch Society. Well, we know it now. Back then, they thought it was something. They thought it was a legit thing. Member of the John Birch Society, running as a Republican on an anti-busing and anti-government platform. He was elected and served as a state representative of Broward County in Florida from November 1966 to March 1967. In 1967, he campaigned for election to the Florida Senate, but was defeated. That same year, he was vice chairman of an organization in Florida which supported George Wallace's presidential bid. In 1968, Clausen served as the Florida state chairman of the American Independent Party, and he supported George Wallace during presidential election. His anti-Jew stance unsettled the party leadership, and they eventually requested his resignation, and Clausen obliged. Clausen also became disillusioned with the John Birch Society, believing it to be too tolerant of Jews, and in August 1969, he formally resigned from it by sending a letter to the chairman. He and his colleague, Austin Davis, believed it to be necessary to move away from conservative politics towards more radical approach. Clausen considered joining Matt Cole's National Socialist White People's Party, but came to believe its members were unqualified and that their openly Hitlerian approach was counterproductive because it led people to support Jewish fundraisers. In 1970, Clausen and Davis founded the Nationalist White Party. After thoroughly reading the Bible to see what all the fuss was about, that's in quotes, Clausen came to the conclusion that Jesus's messages were full of suicidal ideas. By 1971, he started expressing his apprehension towards Christianity, which inevitably led to the Nationalist White Party's collapse. Clausen believed Jews invented Christianity to soften the white race and that Christianity laid groundwork for communism. To counter it, he believed it was necessary to create an alternative religion for white people. This led him to founding Creativity. Excuse me. Creativity. While residing in Florida, Clausen founded his new religion, Creativity, by publishing Nature's Eternal Religion in 1973. That's the holiday we celebrate tomorrow. In the book, he outlined his, and that was on the 21st of February. In the book, he outlined his anti-Jew stance and provided harsh criticism of Christianity. Clausen pointed out that Jews and whites have been involved in a struggle extending back several millennia, that biblical stories are almost certainly impossible, that Christianity is a self-imposed handicap because it encourages whites to think of Jews as, quote, God's chosen people, and that Christianity's message to love your enemies amounts to suicidal advice. Though Clausen did not hide his admiration for Adolf Hitler, he pointed out that Creativity is not a rehash of Nazism because it is, concerned with the entire white race instead of the German nation. It rejects divisive tendencies of nationalism in favor of racial identity, and that Creativity is a religious movement instead of just a political movement. I want to reiterate that. real quick. We are very much opposed to nationalism, traditionalism, Christ insanity, and even Nazism to a large extent. I have actually argued over the past year that Nazism is not a pro-white creed in and of itself. It definitely evolved into that. Hitler himself, I know this is a little bit off topic, but I need to put this out there because we always get called, you know, Nazis and neo-Nazis. And I want to put that out there because this is, I know these are the talking points of the infidels and for non-creators listening, an infidel is a non-believer. And, you know, whether they're libtards or kosher conservatives, they have these talking points, and just calling everybody a Nazi or a fascist, even though fascism is not racial, is, you know, one of them. And so they constantly just refer to us as Nazis, even though we actually have harsh criticism of Nazism. And as I've said, I've argued over the past year that Nazism, now listen, I admire Hitler a lot. I really do. I think the Third Reich is probably outside of creativity is the only real example of a racial state that is totally based upon racial principles. The problem is that it was heavily nationalistic. There's a lot of traditionalism, a lot of nationalism that was woven into the racialism, and it wasn't really a racial nation as we creators would refer to it, or as just, you know, being like a skinhead in the white power movement, you know, over the, you know, where we just want to fight for, you know, just white people being together with white people. That's when I first started, when I first joined the, you know, the white power movement, that was the consensus. There wasn't, the people I hung out with, they weren't nationalists. They weren't trying to fight for a white America. They were just trying to fight for white people to have, you know, a continent sized nation for themselves. And that's what it was about. There was no such thing as nationalism. One of the reasons I converted to creativity, although this probably is more for tomorrow's show, but one of the reasons I joined, that I converted to creativity was because it was anti-nationalism. And you know, ever since I was a child, I was like, nationalism doesn't make any sense to me. So, you know, you're supposed to be a racist, not a nationalist. That just doesn't make any sense. You know, all creatures are born to be racist. Being racist is natural, it's normal, it's healthy. Nationalism is not. Nationalism is about as healthy as communism. So anyway, so I did want to point that out there. While Hitler was a great man, while the Third Reich was a great example standing up to the Jews, it was not a racial loyalist nation. And by racial loyalty, I mean about wanting to unite all white people under one roof. Not, well, we have our culture, you know, and it's a couple thousand years old, so we want everybody, you know, so we want our people to follow this. Now, fuck that bullshit. White people, no. It's a species-wide culture, and that's the way creativity sees it. Okay, so now it gets into timeline section on the website here. So, okay, some of this is actually kind of just boring, so I'm not going to go into that. But basically, between 1973 to 1993, for 20 years, Ben Clausen preached and added to the holy faith of creativity, which is the name of our religion. And he achieved a lot of good stuff. He definitely got the word out. It went from something that was started in the United States to being a global movement. Although, you know, during its first 20 years, there were probably only maybe, I'm not even going to speculate on numbers. It was in the thousands, you know, not in the millions like, you know, the monotheist insaners are, you know, where you got hundreds of millions of people believing in fucking fairy tales. But he definitely, considering how radical creativity is, I'd say he did a damn good job during those first 20 years. Because creativity is a very, is a very, very, it's very unique. It spits upon traditional concepts that a lot of people mistakenly, like when they become racially conscious, when they join the white power movement to start off, because we creators, we're our own movement. But when they start doing that, you know, they kind of see things, you know, a bit like a conservative or libertarian does at first, you know, kind of like, well, you know, America was founded by whites, so it's a form of racial nationalism. Now, of course, we creators laugh at that because you can't, racial nationalism doesn't make any sense. You know, I mean, whenever I hear the phrase, this anti-white phrase referred to as white nationalism, I laugh because who the fuck is a nationalist? I mean, you can't be a racist and a nationalist at the same time. You have two masters. It doesn't make sense. But anyway, considering the fact that he was preaching an anti-runaway capitalist stance, anti-nationalist stance, he was anti-conservative, both kosher conservative and the more libertarian variety that we have today. Considering the fact he was preaching against a lot of things that people just traditionally, you know, like during the 50s and 60s, you know, during, I would say the white power movement between the end of World War I up into Matt Cole and William Pierce's 1970s, you know, was more traditional minded. And Clausen was like, no, we got to wipe it all away and do something totally different. That was his genius. His genius. Well, he had a lot of there was a lot about him that was genius. The way he wrote the holy books was genius. So it gets into you, and your body, your mind just absorbs it. It's laid out in such. I don't know how to describe it. It's when you read the holy books, at first you think it's written a bit simplistically, but it's done that way on purpose so that it just saturates your brain and that you come to easily memorize the tenets of the Holy Creed. That was his genius right there. His other genius was to totally reject, just the traditional concepts of what it meant to be a white empowerist, you know, to believe in white empowerment. You know, you had to believe like kind of like what Rockwell and what Pierce were doing, you know, this nationalistic thing. Even though Pierce, a lot of people are like, well, no, he was kind of like the spooky version of Clausen. But, you know, still there was not the name itself, National Alliance. But William Pierce, though, you know, he was a bit traditional. But Clausen, he just came by and said, no, we got to throw it all out. Let's start fresh. We might pick some of the same things, you know, to weave into this new fabric, but we have to start fresh. We need to just tear it all down, just build from scratch, and that's what creativity is. It's a wonderful creative. I'm actually surprised he was able to during the first 20 years to let it grow so high, with preaching that message. You know, what you're white power, but you're against capitalism, you're against nationalism, you're against Christianity, huh? You know, it's just went against all of the right buttons that everybody wanted to, you know, to get punched. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And he did he was able to accomplish a lot with such a extremely radically different a concept of what it meant to be a racist, what it meant to be loyal to your people. It's just so radically different from anything anybody else wrote. I mean, not even Julius Evola comes to this. I will say this: Julius Evola is kind of like reading Ben Clausen with a mysticism element added to it. And of course, if you read William Pierce, it's kind of like a combination of Clausen and Hitler. But Clausen was definitely unique, and creativity is definitely a wonderful, very, very unique creed, and I love it so much. I mean, there's not one thing I've not been able to find anything that I disagree with. Anything. I've found things by Rockwell that I disagreed with, Hitler, well, certainly Hitler, William Pierce, Louis Beam. I mean, well, Louis Beam's Christian Identity, but, you know, obviously the lone wolf stuff I completely agree with. And Tom Metzger. Tom Metzger and I actually had a falling out a few years ago. And, you know, so, you know, and Matt Hale. Matt Hale and I think there was one or two things that we differed on. You know, certainly I believe more in, you know, to me, you know, racial activism and revolution includes violence. Matt Hale believed kind of like a Mr. Rogers version of white power. Well, you know, where you're supposed to be legal all the time. I don't buy that, but, you know, but Clausen, I've not found anything that he wrote in the way he wrote it that I disagree with. Not one thing. Granted, I haven't read all 14 books cover to cover yet. I've read through every book. I just have not read every book cover to cover. I have, though, read Nature Determined Religion and the White Man's Bible about five times each, and I've read Revolution Values Through Religion about two or three times each, cover to cover. And, of course, the Little White Book I've read through like 50 damn times. I even read through Salubrious Living twice. So that's a pretty boring book. But, and, you know, since Ben Clausen only wrote like one or two pieces of it, you know, we can say that. But, you know, I believe in Salubrious Living. I think it works. So anyway, let's get back to this. So anyway, I'm going to skip through a bunch of the other stuff. Needless to say, he built up, he used his own private money that he made, and he, you know, to build up creativity, you know, to print all the books and print up everything and to establish, you know, to get the buildings made and on the compound and in Carolina and whatnot. So he definitely did, you know, he poured his entire soul, his entire being into the cause of, excuse me, of creativity. And we owe him, we owe this great man our lives dedicated to this creed. I believe that. I believe that we owe it to him and to our people, both past and future, that we owe it to them to believe in creativity and to follow it come what may. I believe that. In fact, I have no tolerance for people that claim to be white power that reject creativity. I mean, if it's not your cup of tea, but you support it, that's one thing. But I will not stomach anybody who rejects it out of hand, or, you know, I cannot. And it doesn't matter whether you're a pagan or Christian identity. I just, if you reject creativity, I'm going to reject you. That's just the way I am. So let's see. So I'll just mention these last two things. In 19 AC or 1992 CE, Clausen's wife of many years died, Henrietta. She died of cancer in January of 1992. And then the next year, in 1993, on the 7th of August, the 75-year-old Ben Clausen, in great pain and dying from cancer, took his own life. And he is buried in a plot, or in a special plot in North Carolina. But by the way, some people might, people that aren't creators or Nazis and pagans might find that weird. But suicide is not a negative. We don't view suicide as a negative. I think you'll find that most pagans and Nazis also view suicide as just something that is an option, not as a sin in and of itself, but as kind of like a last resort option. So, because I have occasionally somebody has said, well, you know, he killed himself, you know, Hitler killed himself too. I'm like, well, first off, Clausen points out that Hitler died in street fighting. Second of all, there's nothing wrong with committing suicide. I know one or two relatives who were dying very slowly, very painfully, that chose suicide. I know friends of the family that have done this too, both in the United States and elsewhere. And, you know, when you are dying in great pain and, you know, you've accomplished everything that you set out to do in life, then there's no shame in suicide. No shame at all. I'm not sure. I think that's really a monotheist insaner concept, you know, whether it's the Mohammedans or the Christ insaners or the Moses insaners, you know, that they want you to be a slave both in this life and the supposed next life to come. And suicide is a way of getting out of that. Probably, you know, in fact, the only reason I could think of logically, logic doesn't really work with these people, but the only reason I could see why monotheist insaners are so anti-suicide is because they know there's no afterlife deep down, and their religions are all about control, and somebody who commits suicide can't be controlled anymore. And since, you know, spookism is bullshit, then I think deep down they realize that, and the people that are in charge of those three religions cannot control that individual anymore. So that's why I think they put so much emphasis on demonizing suicide. But it's just a natural act. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not unnatural. We see there are several different species in nature that commit suicide for the betterment of the family unit or for the species. So it's not like it's a negative. Anyway, I throw that out there because every once in a while, some smart ass, just like the people that try to claim that Bernhardt's real name was Benjamin, and somehow that makes him a Jew, even though his last name is fucking Dutch. Anyway, but then again, what's in a name, you know? As Shakespeare said, what's in a name? So let's go to the Clausen section of pay. Now, we do have videos in here. I'm not going to go through these. Let's see, we got the videos here. And then, hold on a second here. Okay, we got some quotes by Ben Clausen. Now, I did not. I refrain myself from just going through Nature, Term, Religious, the White Man's Bible and just quoting stuff. Because then, I mean, this page would have been a whole website in and of itself. So, but I will read these here because these are some quotes that usually don't get mentioned as often as the ones that are like at the bottoms of Nature, Term, Religion, and the White Man's Bible. So let's see here. We got Ben Clausen quotes. Let's go through this. The white race will. By the way, some of these quotes attributed to him were taken off websites not controlled by us. So I just wanted to point that out. As far as I know, they're quotes by him, but I'm just saying. Let's see here. So the white race will either inhabit planet Earth in totality or it will not survive at all. There will be no in between in our future. Church and state should be united in the white man's religion. Global white racial loyalty and solidarity must be our constant goal. Race is everything. In order to survive and prosper, the white race must overcome its five main enemies: Judaism, Christianity, communism, liberalism, and nationalism. It has been the white race who has been the world builder, the maker of cities and commerce and continents. It is the white man who is the sole builder of civilizations. It was he who built who it was he who built the Egyptian civilization, the great unsurpassed Roman civilization, the Greek civilization of beauty and culture, and who, after having been dealt a serious blow by a new Semitic religion, wallowed through the Dark Ages, finally extracting himself, and then built the great European civilization. From time immemorial, history has declared that territory on this planet Earth belongs to those powerful enough to take it and determined enough to keep it. If there is one thing in this wonderful world of ours that is worth preserving, defending, and promoting, it is the white race. Living in and promoting a eugenic white society, this means that we take particular care in not only assuring the perpetuity of our precious white race, but we take deliberate care that the misfits are culled and that each generation advances to higher, more salubrious levels, physically, aesthetically, and mentally. We creators are builders. We are dedicated to the idea of building a beautiful world so different and so superior to the present one that we creators of this generation will go down in history as the revolutionaries who usher in the golden age of mankind. Creativity, first of all, aims to achieve a revolution of values through religion. Therefore, it completely and categorically rejects the Judeo-Christian, Democratic, Marxist, liberal, feminist values of today and supplants them with new and basic values of which race is the foundation. These European white men, then, with civilization in their blood and in their destiny, crossed the Atlantic and set up a new civilization on a bleak and rock-bound coast. It was the white men who drove north to Alaska and west to California, the men who opened up the tropics and subdued the Arctics, the men who mastered the African velds, the men who peopled Australia and seized the gates of the world at Suez, Gibraltar, and Panama. It was the white man who spanned the continents of the world with railroads and superhighways and electrical power lines. It was the white man who created the miraculous world of electronics, ushering in the telephone, the radio, and television. It was the white race who, in a combined burst of energy and genius, sent rockets to the moon and planted the feet of the white man on extraterrestrial territory in the last decade. I guess that's from the 70s. Well, maybe that could be the 80s. Okay, you know what I should do is I probably should go and find out when each one of these quotes came out. But when I was rounding up stuff for Clausen, opposed to just copying everything verbatim from the books, unfortunately, I had to make do with what I could get. The Jews have tried to really suppress creativity. In fact, that's how you know that creativity is the ultimate creed and program for the white race. I've said this before, I'll say it again, is because it is attacked like nothing else on this planet. There's no other philosophy that is attacked so vehemently, so strongly by the Jews and the race traitors as creativity. Nothing, not even Nazism. In fact, the Jews like Nazism. They like to bring it out once in a while and be like, oh, look, they're Nazis. So, the ADL needs some money. Send us some money because, look, we got to fight these Nazis over here. They like that, but they fear creativity. You know, I wrote a whole bunch of creativity essays, put them up that were online for years, and all of a sudden were scrubbed from the internet. Do you realize that? In fact, there's a lot of early stuff from 2001 to 2004, which you can't find anywhere on the internet. And unfortunately, I didn't have it saved in anything that wasn't stolen and destroyed by the pigs. Creativity is so hated and feared by our enemies that it's the one thing that's so difficult to find, even on the internet. Just to find like a plethora of everything. Occasionally you'll stumble upon something, there'll be something archived somewhere in some university website, but it's really difficult. The search engine algorithms, even white power people that are Christian identity or that are, maybe race, they're racial, but they're kind of, they're nationalistic conservatives at the same time, but they have some racial views. It's just everybody attacks it. Even white power people that believe in Christian identity will attack creativity, even though it's all about destroying Jews, communism, and saving the white race. It is the most hated and feared ideology on this planet. It is. There's nothing. Nothing that comes remotely close. A lot of people point to Nazism. Once again, Nazism was about one section of one subgrouping of the white race looking out for its own best interests. Maybe they wanted to help eventually, unite Europe, but it wasn't about uniting white people on a planet-wide basis. It was more about uniting people of a specific ethnicity. Well, fuck that. Who gives a shit what your ethnicity is? Listen, if you want to join the Church of Ben Clausen, or any creativity church. I mean, real church, not the Creativity Alliance is bullshit. They're fakers. They're run by a snitch bitch. Hold on, let me take a drink. If you want to join, you don't have, we don't, we're not going to put your DNA under a microscope. I've been very active on Twitter. And occasionally, as everybody knows, I moved to Texas. And, there's a lot of Latinos here that we creators consider to be white people of Spanish ancestry. And I've had conversations with people that I look at and I see a white person, but they've been raised, in by the Jew media, by weird social beliefs, that societal beliefs, societal constructs, that somehow because their ancestry is Spanish or Portuguese, or because maybe 500 years ago there's a little engine in there somewhere that somehow that means they're not white. Now that's bullshit. I've had that conversation not just with white Latinos, but also with white people that whose parents come from Syria, Lebanon, and Turkey. There's a lot of white people that live in that area of the Middle East. There's a lot of white people because of British and French colonialism, because of World War II and World War I. There's a lot of white people that live in that were born and raised in places like India or Syria, Lebanon, and even Turkey that we know they're white. There's a whole section of white people. There's a whole section of which is historically Greek land, which is controlled by modern day Turkey, which when it was conquered remained Greek, in race and culture, or I should say ethnicity, because obviously Greek is white, but in ethnic and in local white ethnicity, it remained Hellenic, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And so we don't judge somebody, excuse me, based upon nationality or ethnicity. We don't give a fuck if you're Slavic or Irish or Italian. I can't tell you how many times I've run into white power people I don't even want to call them white power. You cannot be true white power if you're gonna bash somebody just because their fucking eyes are brown or hazel. I mean, they could be as their facial features could be as Nordic as a fucking Germanic Olympian Superman, and somebody be like, oh well, their eyes got a little brown and there's a little brown speck in the left eye, so fuck them, they're mud people. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? We're not outnumbered enough. You want to just cut off like 3/4 of the white population because they don't all have blonde hair and blue eyes. What the fuck? We're already outnumbered, asshole. There's over 8 billion fucking people on this planet. How many white people are on this planet? 500 million? Maybe a billion? Let me get the fuck out of here. What are we outnumbered, like 16-1? Shut the fuck up. I hate Nordicism. Cannot stand. I hate nationalism. I hate Nordicism. Can't stand. Be a racist. Don't be a nationalist. Stop that shit. And don't be an ethnicist either. That shit pisses me off. Anyway, sorry, got off. There's the rant everybody loves. But I've been living in Texas for a while now, and well, same when I was living in PA. I ran into a lot of people that were born in Asia, in former white colonies, whose people ended up moving here. And I'm like, they'd ask me, well, do I count? I'm like, well, yeah, you look white, you act white. I mean, you listen to rock and roll. You talk like you're white. You don't talk ghetto. You don't look like a nigger. You don't look like you're brown. I mean, I don't give a fuck just because your family's born in Lebanon. What is that? I remember that it was Syria or Lebanon. I think it was Lebanon. Anyway, I remember this. No, he was very Nordic looking, but his family was several generations. I think Lebanon was originally a French colony, right? Anyway, for several generations, they lived for like, I don't know, 100 years or more. They lived in Lebanon, was born and raised French citizens, or French or British, I forget. I think it's French. Anyway, so French citizens, and they lived there, and for like a, for, I don't know, five, eight generations, and then they finally moved to the United States, a couple generations later, one or two generations ago. And the guy, he sees himself because of American, because of the goofy, the way Americans and Canadians like to twist, one's nationalism and ethnicity to fit into a certain paradigm. Like, well, if like for us creators, if you're born, it doesn't matter where you're born. You could be born in the Belgian Congo, but if you're white, you're fucking white. Just because you're born in the Belgian Congo doesn't make you a Negro. You have to be a Negro to be a Negro. But there are Nordicists out there and regionalists, I don't know what else to call them, where they're like, well, if you were born and raised in Lebanon, then that means you're Arabic. Well, I don't know how that works because everything's supposed to be seen on race, not area. So once again, that's one of the great things about creativity, and that Clausen was, even though Clausen himself was, of Dutch ancestry, he was like, no. It's, you want to come in, you can, if you're white, if you look white, you act white, you think white, you act in the best interest of the white race, you're white. Come on in and join our church. And that's the great thing about creativity. And I certainly, as leader of the Church of Ben Clausen, definitely maybe overemphasize that we are very inclusive to all white ethnicities. As I said, I've actually had to openly berate and distance racial activism with certain white power organizations simply because they had a Nordicist bent. I mean, occasionally you'll even run into people that it doesn't matter how Nordic you are, if you're Irish or Italian, you don't count as white. And it's just ridiculous. I've never heard such stupidity in my fucking life. I mean, to hear a white power person say something like that, it's almost as bad as hearing fucking Joe Biden order up some kids to sniff. It's almost as bad as that. In fact, actually, from my standpoint, it's worse. I'd rather hear Joe Biden fucking drone on and on about sniffing little kids and fucking little dogs in the ass than to hear someone who claims to be white power throw in a bunch of Nordicist bullshit. Anyway, that's my rant. No, it's true though. That's one of the brilliant things about creativity is that it doesn't care about these terrible constructs that have divided white people. This really is probably for more for tomorrow's show. But anyway. But creativity is such a wonderful creed. it threw out all of these traditionalist concepts that divided our people, divided us in the worst ways possible. Look at Ireland. Look at Ireland. That place has been divided for centuries because of what? Because of one version of Christ insanity versus another version of Christ insanity? They're both Christ insaners. What the fuck are they doing? And they're white. Why are they killing each other? It's stupid. It makes no goddamn sense. I can't stand that shit. It's like white Germans and white Poles hating each other. What the fuck? You're both white. Stop that shit. You should be united against the Jews. And that's what Ben Clausen did. He gave us a religion that tells us, no, we must unite as a species because that's what we are. We are the white race, the European species, Homo sapiens, humans. But mud people ain't fucking human. You know, we're the humans. We're the Homo sapiens. I guess it depends on what school of thought you. Cro-Magnon, Homo sapiens sapien are all supposed to mean human. They're all supposed to basically be the same race, white people. It just depends. They keep changing word. Every 20 years, they fucking change shit. But you know what I'm talking about. Kind of getting off on a stupid rant. Anyway. No, but, you know, it's our species. The white race is the human race. Nobody else belongs into that category. Fuck them. Get out of here. And we must be united as a species. I've said this often as an example. Do Nordic wolves really give a shit if somebody's born in the Yukon versus Alaska? Do they really care about that? No, of course not, because they're the same race. They're both Arctic wolves. They don't give a shit if one wolf is born over in fucking Canada versus the United States. They don't care about that. But why do white people do that? Because the Jews have divided us with nationalism, with the right-left box, with Christ insanity. They have divided us. But Ben Clausen said, no, we must reject this. We must throw it out. We must embrace a creed that unites us as one race upon one planet. We're never going anywhere else, folks. This is it. Earth is what we got. We got to fight for it tooth and nail. We got to fucking kill and we've got to die in order to preserve it, to protect it. Not just our race, but the planet itself. That's what creativity gives us. That's what Ben Clausen gave us with creativity. So look, you can unite. You can be one race again. One race, just like Rome, just like the Roman Empire, where all these white ethnicities came together and saw themselves as Romans. Well, that's what we creators seek to do. We want all white people to see themselves as creators. Just as our Roman brothers and sisters of old did that, we seek to do that too. And Ben Clausen gave us that. He gave us this beautiful, wonderful creed. I love it so much. I love it. I've did 10 fucking years for this religion. I love this fucking religion. I love creativity. I've not found one goddamn thing in these books that I disagree with. Not one thing. I've read Mein Kampf. I've said, no, fuck this. This is stupid. That's dumb as shit. I probably disagree with at least 50% of what Hitler wrote. I don't give a shit. I've disagreed with several chapters in White Power by George Lincoln Rockwell. I've disagreed with several ADV broadcasts by William Pierce. Tom Metzger and I had a big falling out several years ago. Not one thing that Clausen wrote have I ever disagreed with. Not one thing. Not one thing. This is a beautiful religion, a beautiful creed. I wrap myself around that blanket every night when I'm falling asleep. I'm like, I'm so glad I'm white. I'm so glad I believe in this. I'm so proud to be a creator. I'm so proud to follow this great man, this man who gave us everything. He used his entire life fortune, all of his energy. The man died. The man used up his every ounce of his soul to create this religion and to preach it, to get it out there. He and his wife gave everything and they died. They died for this. The very least we can do is to follow in his footsteps, to give all of our life to this creed, come what may, to fight, to kill, to die for it, to spread it so that it exists, so that 500 years from now, when we're putting the pieces back together after, you know, the fucking, you know, the big comet strikes the planet and the World War III fucking, you know, the nuclear holocaust wiped out all the major cities and all that shit, that we'll have this creed to help us build back and to remember what happened before so we do not repeat it. We must never, ever repeat this insanity that we're going through today. The shit that goes on today makes no goddamn sense to me. I don't understand it. It infuriates me to no end. All we see today, this fucking men acting like women, thinking they can give birth because they feel, I feel like a woman, so I can give birth. I have seen fucking pictures and video. I am not making this up. I have seen pictures and videos. I cannot believe this. What I'm about to say is, could you imagine even in the 90s fucking thinking this? I have seen pictures and videos of men with a baby suckling at their nipple. These are men. You ain't got no mammary gland. What the fuck are you doing? I don't give a shit how your feelings are. You ain't got no milk. This is the insanity we see today. We see things like Bruce Jenner fucking getting his dick cut off. We see because he's upset because his fucking kids get more attention than him. What the? That's probably even the worst reason to do it. Jesus Christ. He probably didn't even really believe in any of it. He just wanted more attention. And then we got guys that can't hack it in MMA or on track and field or in swimming that all of a sudden they get their dick cut off, or some of them didn't even get their dick cut off. They just, I identify as a woman. And so what did they do? They compete against women and they fucking blow them away. And where are all the feminists with that shit? You never hear them with that. Oh, it's we cannot allow this insanity that the Jews have created to repeat itself 500 years from now, after we've wiped all the Jews out, after we've wiped all the race traders out, after we fucking separate everybody and every race gets its own fucking country. Let the mud people and the niggers go live off somewhere and fucking die by their own hand. Fuck them. Let's care about us. After 500 years of us finally putting all the pieces together, we cannot allow this to happen again. We cannot allow a new Jewish race to fucking come out of that chaos. That's inevitable. That's inevitable. By the end of this century, the shit will already have hit the fan. That I don't think there's anybody that disagrees with that. By the end of this century, Hopefully, I think we still have a few more years here. But by the end of this century, the great nuclear holocaust, the great race war, that's going to already be over or underway by the end of this century. We cannot allow that insanity to travel into the future when we're picking up the pieces. We cannot allow that. We need to get every last man or every last white man, woman, and child to follow creativity, to follow the guiding light that Ben Clausen gave us back in 1973. The white power movement back then should have listened to him. They should have heeded the call of creativity. They should have come together as one race, one people, one racial nation under one racial religion. They should have done that instead. No, everybody wanted to do their own fucking thing. And Matt Cole wanted to do this, and William Pierce wanted to copy creativity but add some spook bullshit to it. And everybody wanted to do their own goddamn fucking thing. And so fucking divided. I can't stand it. It makes no goddamn sense. What the fuck are we fighting each other for? This is stupid. And you know what? I'm going to put the blame on the traditionalists and the Christian identity people out there. There's no reason for you people to fucking be pro-American nationalism. America has been anti-white for fucking 100 years. America went to war against Nazi Germany. That alone, when I was growing up, instinctually, I knew Hitler was right. And when I learned that the United States had gone to war with Hitler and the Third Reich, I instinctually started hating the United States. I'm a fucking kid, and I got that shit figured out. Why is it you people today with this nationalist security blanket? I don't understand that. Stop it. Just stop. Give it up. Stop it. Stop. It's like these people that are pro-Canada. You know, the people that the truck. I have no sympathy for these people because they will not pick up a gun and start killing the cops that are beating the shit out of them every day now in Ottawa. They're not doing a goddamn thing. I have no sympathy for them. I have no sympathy for anybody who doesn't fight back. Listen, I've had to pull my gun several times in my life. I've had to go up against four different people. Okay? Luckily for me, I was only put on trial one time. You know, I went through that terrible experience. Luckily, I had a great attorney. And thankfully, you know, the jury wasn't fucking brainwashed. And they looked at the facts and like, dude, this is obvious. Fucking, it's self-defense. Why the fuck did they charge this guy? What the hell? Is it just because he's politically an asshole? What? Sorry, I'm kind of getting off on a rant. Another one. But I don't understand why I don't understand the nationalism. I really don't. There's no cause. All the countries today went to war against Hitler. So I don't know why any of you people are fucking supporting that, any of the countries today. Russia is the only exception because Russia wasn't Russia back then. Russia was controlled by the Jews and was called the Soviet Union. So that, like Eastern Europe, I can understand because they were all under control from, they were either allied with Hitler or they were under control of Stalin. So I can at least buy like racial nationalism in Russia because, you know, they suffered under the Jews. They overthrow the Jews. It wasn't Russia when they were fighting against Hitler. I can understand that. There's no excuse to support Canada, England, France, modern day Germany, the United States, Mexico. All these countries fought against Hitler. There's no point. There's no reason to be pro nationalism with any of these countries. I don't get it. And then the Christ insanity. That really boggles my mind. I guess I can sort of understand the nationalism thing. If you come from the understanding that, well, technically all nations were founded by white people, so then I guess I could sort of see maybe some type of racialism, maybe like a couple of grains of it in there somewhere. But there's nothing in Christ's insanity. So that I just don't get. I mean, Clausen gave us this beautiful creed, this wonderful creed. Why are you still clinging to that bullshit? I don't understand it. I was raised Mormon. I gave that shit up when I was 14 years old. I was like, well, this doesn't make any fucking sense. I was like, I believe in race. I don't believe in the Book of Mormon. I don't believe in American nationalism. I don't believe in runaway capitalism. I hate the Jews. I hate communists. I hate niggers. I hate race mixing. I mean, I had all that shit figured out when I was like 13, 14 years old. What the fuck is taking you people so long? I just don't get it. As I said, Clausen gave us this wonderful creed, this creed where we could unite our people, and we need to do that. We need to do that. We cannot allow the insanity of the 20th and 21st century to continue. We cannot allow that. We cannot allow Christ's insanity to survive past this century. We cannot allow the Jews to survive past this century. We cannot allow the race traitors and the libtards and the communists and the kosher conservative Zionist fucktards. Can't allow these people, these scumbags, these enemies of humanity, these enemies of the universe to fucking survive past this century. They all must be fucking wiped out. Every goddamn last one of them. Hold on, let me take a drink. That's what we need to do. We need to unite under creativity. You know, it's a wonderful religion. I love this. And Clausen, as I said, his genius was he wrote it in a way where he put all of these wonderful facts and figures, you know, hardcore knowledge, but he wrote it in a way that any white person could understand and get it the brain to absorb it. That was his genius. He wrote it in a way so that everybody could read it. And after reading it one time, like just the basics of it would just be lodged in your brain. Some people say he was a bit repetitious, but he did that on purpose so that after you got done reading Nature's Eternal Religion and reading the White Man's Bible, that it would be that the knowledge would be stuck in your brain because you'd kind of read it over it two or three times. That's the genius. It's wonderful stuff here. Hold on, let me turn the light on. Let's see. We got tons of great stuff in here. I love it. I've read Nature's Eternal Religion and White Man's Bible about four or five times each. You know, I love this religion so much. I told Matt, I was like, I want to take the test. I want to become an ordained minister. I love this. Now, there was a brief moment of time when I was, you know, I was a bit critical, not of creativity, but just the creativity movement. You know, you had all that bullshit with Campbell kind of like two times over. You know, there was Logsdon and I had a falling out, and that led me to have a falling out with the TCM, although I'm assuming that's been corrected. You know, I've been talking with one or two of the TCM guys over there in England, and I assume that we're on better terms now than before. But, you know, it's just Logsdon and Campbell kind of, you know, there was one point around 2000, 2007, 2008, 2009, where I just started to kind of lose my faith a little bit. I mean, not the faith in creativity. I just kind of got pissed off that nobody was really doing anything. There was all this weird infighting going on. And Campbell and Logsdon are really the ones that were doing it. It wasn't everybody in the TCM, you know, because we broke off from the TCM in April of 2003 to form the Church of Benclossa. And you know, it's because of Logsdon and like two or three other people. It wasn't the whole group. In fact, there were several reverends that agreed with me on some of the thing on the items that I proposed. It was just Logsdon and his supporters, you know, were just raising a ruckus. And so there was a brief moment where I was like, well, fuck it, you know, whatever. Hold on. Better not be a goddamn bug. Sorry. There was a moment. There was a moment though where there was a brief moment where I was mad at a handful of individuals that claimed to be creators. So I never lost my faith. I've always believed in creativity. In fact, even when I was writing the Wotanist Bible and the Wolf Manifesto, the words of Clausen still crept into the writing. You know, ever since I converted in 2001, I've never not been a creator. There was like 3 years, there was 2 or 3 years where I was a little, I'm a little pissed off, you know, Logsdon, Campbell, fuck these assholes. But, you know, that had to do with those individuals. Never, ever once did I ever question Ben Clausen. As I've said, I've never found anything to disagree with Clausen. What, how much time are we on? Oh shit, we're already over an hour. Well, I can't go on too long, much longer because the file gets too big and then there's a problem with uploading it. Hold on, let me take a drink. Anyway, so hopefully you felt the power in my voice and as far as my dedication to the creed goes. It is a wonderful creed. If you are, listen, if you're an anti-white bigot, why don't you or someone thinking about converting to creativity, or maybe you're a white racial loyalist who has never really studied creativity, or maybe you heard like from somebody like Harold Covington, and so you kind of think it means this when it doesn't. Listen, go onto the website. Now, if you want a physical copy, you can send me $15 postage paid. You can send me 15 bucks. I'll send you a copy of the little white book. I'll even sign it for you if you want, but I'll send it to you. For 15 bucks, or you can go onto the website and download it for free. The Little White Book, it'll take you 20 minutes to read it, cover to cover, 20 minutes. If you have any questions, if you have any doubts, if you have heard negative things about it from, as I said, you know, the Harold Covingtons of the world, or if you've seen the shenanigans of Campbell in Australia and thought maybe all creators were like that, or maybe you even remember me from 20 years ago when I was a little goofy, just download this book, download the Little White Book, and just read it cover to cover. It'll take you 20 minutes. It'll answer all the questions you have. And if at that point you don't agree with it, well, besides the fact I'll think you're nuts, but I'll accept that. I'll accept it. If you read through this, if you sincerely read it and you don't believe in it, I can accept that. But if you have any questions, if you have a misunderstanding, if you want to know more but aren't sure yet if it's the right creed for you, read the Little White Book. Just go to the website at churchofbenclausen.org and creativityreligion.com and download it. Just download it for free. Or if you want a physical copy, I carry this around with me everywhere. I have a copy on me. I take it everywhere I go. I put it in my backpack, take it with me. When I'm on the bus, just pull it out and start reading. And some people see the title of the book. They're like, the Little White Book. Oh shit, he's dressed as a skinhead. Must be some Nazi shit. That's always funny. Anyway, but just download it. I'm telling you, it's going to change your life. It's a wonderful creed. It's beautiful, and I want to thank again to the great man, Ben Clausen, this wonderful man who gave his entire fortune that he had worked his whole life for, and then in the last 20 years of his life, he just said, you know what? I believe in my people. My people need this creed. I'm going to make this creed for them. I'm going to spread it, and I'm going to use my entire fortune for it. I'm going to use what energy I've left in my veins to promote this for the best interests of my people. He did that. He gave that to us. And we owe it to this man, this great man, this wonderful man who cared so much about our children and our children's children and our children's children's children. This man who cared so much, who gave so much. We owe it to him. We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to our race to join that creed, to join creativity, to be creators, to follow this creed, come what may. We owe it to him and we owe it to ourselves. And if you have kids, you owe it to your children. If you have grandkids, you owe it to them. Just read the Little White Book. Download Nature's Eternal Religion. Read the first few chapters. I guarantee you, you'll see it the way I do. I hope you do. I'm in awe of this man. I give thanks to this man twice a day, every day. Some people might think it's a little spooky, but I don't care. I know he's dead, but in my heart, he still lives. In my mind, with these words, he still lives. He may not live. He may not exist, but his words remain, and I believe in them, and I follow them, and hopefully one day you will follow them too, because if we do, we will definitely be able to win this racial holy war. Rahoa.